Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Cedars in Lebanon. Well, welcome to a mini episode of Cedars in Lebanon. Well, first of all, allow me to apologize. Kai, I don't know where I want to begin my apology from. I want to first of all thank everyone who reached out and somehow compelled and kept compelling me to get up and record. It's just been one of those times where recording is difficult. So thank you, first of all. Secondly, I want to say a big apology. Is that even correct? Is that correct English? I want to tender my apology to everyone who has been waiting for an episode. God, I am so sorry. I apologize. There have been a couple of things in the works. And yeah. But thank you for sticking with us anyway. And I apologize for just running away or for, you know, not giving any notices about next episodes and all of that. And may the Lord keep helping us and granting grace to keep recording and keep coming back here, because it's necessary. Amen. So today's episode is a mini episode. I actually did not plan to record. I do not plan to release any episode this week. I didn't plan to record anything this week, but well, for the sake of someone out there who will need this, I've had to record this episode. So of course it's a mini episode, very short. I pray in Jesus' name that this episode is short. I promise I will try to keep it less than 30 minutes. So because of that, there's not going to be any reflection corners or anything. Basically, what I came on here to share with you guys is to tell you a story. Kai, I said you guys, like, you guys are my friends. You guys are my friends. You're, oh my God. I'm sorry. But yeah, I think that right now everyone who listens to this podcast has a special place in my heart, so I will call you my friends. I just came to share a story and the lesson I learned from the story on here. Basically that's it. First of all, before I continue, how are you doing? I hope that you are doing absolutely okay. I hope that you are holding on to the things that remain and strengthening those things. I hope that you are staying in Jesus. I hope that you find pleasure in Him continually. And I hope that your Christian walk is not becoming boring. I hope that every day it's newness upon newness, because it's so easy to be carried away in the world that we are in and to focus on the things that you can see. But the Bible says that we do not focus on things that we can see. We focus on things which are unseen, because it's those things that are eternal. And so I really hope that you are focusing and holding on to the things that are unseen, the things that remain. And I hope that you are finding joy in Jesus. And I hope that He's strengthening you even in this season of your life. Please let me know how you're doing. Honestly, I really wish that you could just text me, like, Precious, I'm doing fine and I'm answering or replying because you asked. Oh, you would warm my heart, seriously. You would really warm my heart, because I mean, I think that it would be gorgeous if I share with you and you share with me, because that's what friends do, right? Yeah. Okay, I'm going in another direction right now, so let me just go back. So like I said, I came on here to share a story. The story is, well, it's about something that happened recently. So very recently, I made some very major, well, not very major in the scheme of, if you look at it, because I mean, it's just a side thing. But by the way, I'm not going to be saying the details, right? our friendship is still growing. But like, I made some very, well, in the plan of God, I'm sure there are big decisions, but when it comes to the, should I say, looking at it from my human eyes, they don't seem like so big decisions. But I came to realize that they were actually big decisions. Anyway, something happened. I was very privileged in reason. So because of the major decisions that I made and all of that, I was privileged to sit down in a room on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday afternoon. I was privileged to sit down in a room amongst Russians. Many of you know I'm in Russia, right? Yeah, so I was privileged to sit down, sort of like a roundtable discussion-ish, with a couple of Russians from different walks of life. I don't even know what most of them do. But yeah. And we're supposed to talk about a topic, and the topic was Halloween. Hey, you know, it's funny because in the calendar, I think Halloween is supposed to be today or tomorrow. I'm not sure. That is 30th to 31st. I'm not sure. But yeah, somewhere around there. Anyway, the topic was supposed to be Halloween, or the topic was actually Halloween. I personally don't do Halloween. From childhood, I've never, it's not something I've fancied, not something I've celebrated. As I grew up, I came to realize what it actually entailed, and it's irked me the more. It was something I got less and less interested in over time. Not just because I don't like it, or I don't like to celebrate holidays like that, but because of what it actually represents and the whole, the story behind it, the spirits and all of that. But I'm not going to go into that. Now, a question was thrown to the table. And what was the question? The question was, the Russian Orthodox Church, wow, I'm going to mention a lot of names in this, but let's be going. The question was that the Russian Orthodox Church had a problem with celebrating Halloween in schools, that's like in Russian schools. And so they were asking us, what's your opinion? Like, what do you think about this? Do you think that it's a good step, or the Russian Orthodox Church is just going too far? And I mean, I didn't speak because I was there to observe. I wasn't there to contribute per se. Yeah, my job there was to observe. So the question was thrown to the table and the people started answering. And every single one of them answered in the direction of, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just tradition. If people think that, in fact, at first I thought, okay, they don't know it's spirits they're talking about. I was like, let me give them benefit of the doubt. But then they went on to begin to explain about how they know that it's opening the door to demonic spirits. I was like, sorry, you know, and you're, but anyway, they were like, they know it's opening the door to demonic spirits, but if people feel like they should celebrate ghosts and celebrate the dead and celebrate all the spirits that need to be celebrated, then it's their tradition and they should go along with it. And so the person went on asking, so do you think that's a tradition that the Russian culture should adopt, because it didn't start from Russia? And so they now went on to speak about how it's okay to adopt traditions from other places. For example, they give the example of Mexico that celebrate a holiday like Day of the Dead, and they went on to say that it's something that they think is good because it gives you the opportunity to celebrate your loved ones who have passed away, invoke their spirits. This was where I began to get scared. I mean, child of God, child of God in that room, but invoke their spirits. You people know these things. I thought you did not know. I thought you didn't know. Like, I thought you didn't know that was the excuse. But they knew, and then they were like, it's okay, it's tradition. If people feel like it's okay with them, then they support them. And it's no, there's nothing wrong in taking another person's tradition, adopting another person's tradition rather, and celebrating it with them. And so they went on to continue questioning, well, do you think about invoking spirits and demon spirits? So the Russian Orthodox, so they concluded on the fact that the Russian Orthodox Church was taking it too far when it came to banning or saying that Halloween should not be celebrated in schools. And they came to the conclusion that the church was taking it too far and that it's not a bad tradition, and they would willingly, of course, celebrate something like this. I mean, it's an adventure to converse with spirits. I thought I was in a movie, like a horror movie, where, you know, as I was like remaining small, this would become a scene for a horror movie. But why am I telling this story? It hit me in that moment. It hit me so hard in that moment that I was God's man in that room. I mean, I know that I was not there to speak or to say anything per se and all of that. By the time it actually came to my turn to speak, the topic had changed, so I even forgot to touch it, rather. But in that moment, it hit me that I was God's man. It hit me that I was in that room and I was the only one that God had in that room. And oh my God, I was shocked. I was scared. I mean, many times you hear you're an ambassador of Christ, and I'm going to go to that scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. It says that now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And hey, it hits me in that moment that, precious, you are literally the only one that God has in this room. And before you got here, there was no man that could speak his counsel in this room. And he has brought you here so that you can speak his counsel in this room. I remember that place in Malachi chapter 2 that says that the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, and he's the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And In that moment, I was just shocked. Not shocked, but realization, it hits me hard. I don't think shocked is the word. I think it was just that light, it dawned on me that, I mean, I've heard it many times, that there are many rooms you enter and you will be a representative of God in that room. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You're the salt of the earth and all of that. But it's like it had all been book. You know when you do theory, if you're in medical school, you know when you do the theory of how to draw blood from the vein and practicing it, they are two very different worlds, because the theory is just steps and steps and steps, and the practical is more, you have to be more, there are hacks you did not even know existed. And so, like, sitting down in that room, oh my God, it hits me that I was God's man in that room. It hits me hard. And I just remember this ambassadors of Christ verse. I remember Paul, this was not the only place that he talked about being an ambassador. He also talked about in Ephesians 6 verse 20 that he said that I'm an ambassador in chains. But even upon that, I would speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so it dawned on me there and then that I was God's ambassador to these people. They may not be many. They may be strangers, because this is not the only time I'm going to be in that room. For the next couple of weeks, I actually have to be in that room. But it hits me that there's a reason why God allowed me to be here. Because it just reminded me of Moses. Moses, when he said that the people are blind because there's a veil on their face. And you know, when I think about a veil, I used to think, oh, maybe they don't know what they are invoking spirits and all of that, but they know. And like, God, I'm actually still shocked. But no, I think in that moment it hit me and it dawned on me that I'm an ambassador of Christ. And the Lord started telling me that you are my medium to speak to these people. That verse that I read from 2 Corinthians, it says that as though God were pleading through us, like you are his medium. It's as though he is talking through you. It's as though he is trying to reach the people through you. Actually, that's 2 Corinthians 5. It's a popular verse that says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things are past, and behold, all things have become new. And he goes on, actually, before this verse 20, explains about how Christ died, so we all died, and he rose, and we have life in him and he died for us, so we have to live for him. And it just reminded me of what an ambassador truly is. He's a man who lives for his country. Okay, whether it be a country ambassador, a brand ambassador, or someone who's just, you know, representing someone or representing something. An ambassador's home is never the country that he's sent to. He's always a representative of a country to another country, if we're talking about country ambassadors. If we're talking about brand ambassadors, it's people who represent a brand. I can imagine if you're brand ambassador for, let's say, a detergent company, and someone else sees you using another type of detergent, it will not go down. You might actually lose your job. So it just got me thinking about how our job description on this earth is ambassadors of Christ. Our embassy is the church that he has given to us. He has given to us a body, the church, which is our embassy, which is why you should never forsake the gathering of believers. That's your embassy. That's your safe place, in quotes. But we are sent out. An ambassador's job does not stop in his embassy. As a matter of fact, his embassy is not where his job is. An ambassador's job is in the president's house, conversing with the president about what we can do to make relationships between our two countries better. But that's in the cute country system, two countries at peace. But in this world, we know that there's trouble, sorrow and tribulations and trials. Our job as ambassadors here is in that verse. He said, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. An ambassador is someone who speaks as God's medium, as you ought to speak. Like Paul said, there's a manner and a way to speak. There's a frequency on how often you speak. You do not choose, or you don't get to choose, I speak in this room, I don't speak in this room. Well, yeah, the Holy Ghost will instruct you, but you are sent to all men. Paul said, I become all things to all men. You are sent to the country or the place. Let's just use country for the bulk of this episode, mini episode. Yes, but you're sent to the country to make disciples of your own country. You are sent literally to make more ambassadors. That is your job description as an ambassador. An ambassador is a man who loves his country so much that he leaves his country to go and get men that will serve his country the way he is doing, in the kingdom context now, of course. And if two countries, I was actually just studying about this and this sort of came, that if two countries wanted to start a new relationship, for example, let's say two countries, new countries, I don't know, see, I'm not into all of this history stuff. I think I've said it here before that I really don't care for history, but let's imagine two countries want to start relationships together, like they want to have a bilateral relationship. What happens? They send ambassadors. They send one ambassador and the other ambassador to exchange, and to go and discuss whatever the president of their country says. That's what they go to this next country with, and that's what they discuss. Let's say it's a starting country. They discuss, how do we build our embassy here? How do we build our community here? That's what Jesus did for us when he came to earth. He came as the first ambassador from heaven to earth so that he could reconcile us to him. And by the time we became reconciled to him, we became ambassadors that are supposed to reconcile others to him. That is why that verse says, we implore you on Christ's behalf. On behalf of Christ, our first ambassador, who came to this earth to settle a plan for us, to build an embassy for us, to build a system for us, to bring us a constitution, to bring us a guide, the Holy Ghost, to bring us everything that we need to, so that our ambassadorship, if I may say, will be efficient on this land or in this place. Yeah. On behalf of him, be reconciled to God. And that's just the job of an ambassador. That's the job description of an ambassador. An ambassador is a mouthpiece of God. An ambassador is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. An ambassador is a medium through which the Lord speaks to the man that he wants to call. An ambassador is the middleman. An ambassador is the middleman between God and the unsaved man. You are the middleman between God and the man that he wants to save. You are his hope on this earth. And maybe we've never, okay, let me speak for myself. Maybe I've never sat down to think about it very deeply until I was presented with that situation in that room where I realized that, oh my God, Jesus, I am actually literally your person in this room. And on my account, nobody in this room should perish. And maybe when you think about it that deeply, it changes your thinking and it allows you to become a more efficient ambassador. Many of us are ambassadors to our roommates, to our families. It might surprise you, but yes, many of us are ambassadors to our families. He has put you in that family so that you can be the medium between him and your family members. Many of us are ambassadors to our colleagues and we don't know it. We are laughing with them each day and cracking jokes with them and working with them each day. And yet the Lord is saying, you are my middleman. Why are you not saying my message? Or why are you not telling them what I want you to tell them? And so it's just something that I've just been thinking about and I thought that I should share, because you are God's solution to someone's prayer. You are God's solution to many issues, and I think maybe we actually do need to sit down and think about it very deeply. You are God's representative in many spaces and many places. Many of the places that you are in, you are his man, you are his choice, you are his ambassador, you are his person in that room. And if you never speak, if you never implore them on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God, first of all, by your speaking, because the Bible says that how will they hear if there is no preacher? So it's not just in your character, your excellence. Yes, be excellent. But the first way to share the gospel is by speaking. And then your character. But of course, your character will speak before you say a word. So, I mean, your character, your excellence at what you do, your kindness, your heart of love for these people, because your father loves them. The president of the country from where you come from, they are passionate about these people. So you have to portray that passion. And then speaking to them, actually talking to them about Jesus. Well, saying this, I feel so guilty. I think it's good. It's good guilt, because it will compel me to act, because I felt so that day. Man, I was just like, nah. But yes, in all, you're God's representative. You're God's hope for the people in that room. Don't wait till you say, oh, I need a big platform or somewhere where I hold a microphone or I stand on a big stage and speak to a million people. He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. If you can be faithful with the 2-3 people that are around you that the Lord has given to you, either as your classmates or as your friend, then he will trust you to be faithful with 10. Remember the parable of talents. A man that was faithful with 5, he gave him 5 more. If you are faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. You don't need a big platform to preach the gospel. I remember someone telling me the story of how there was this man of God who went. He was a very big man of God, by the way. He was a very popular man of God in the maybe 20s, 1920s, 19, I don't know where when they're about anyway. Yeah, and then he finished preaching this very powerful sermon and he gave an altar call. And only one man came out. And you know, it's the message was powerful, so he probably felt like, oh my God, like, why? Only one man came out. And do you know who that one man was? Billy Graham. Do you not think that it would be accounted to that man, this preacher, that he did a lot for the kingdom of God? So the Lord really does not look at numbers. He does not look at, we tend to look at the things before us. But remember, focusing on things that are not seen. So yes, that's my little story and sharing, because you're my friends. My little encouragement and little sharing to you. There's someone around you that needs to hear the message of God's gospel. There's someone around you that needs to know about Jesus. There's someone around you that it might be your family members. It might be that close. You are God's hope for that person. You are God's medium to that person. And I just pray that the Lord will give us the boldness. Actually, that was the prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians 6, verse 20. He prayed, or rather, he was telling the Ephesians, he was writing a message to them, and he said that you pray always, and that you pray for me that there will be utterance given to me, and I'll open my mouth to speak boldly. And then he goes on to say, I'll open my mouth to speak boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so that's the little prayer. No, it's not a little prayer, I think. Powerful prayer. But yes, that's the powerful prayer that I will live with you today and pray for you today, that the Lord will give you the grace to be watchful, first of all, that he would give you utterance, that he will give you boldness to open your mouth and boldly speak and make known the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, to the people around you that need to hear it, and that you will speak boldly as you ought to speak. Because why would we send an ambassador to a country when all he does there is live like a citizen of that country, when all he does there is sit down and cross his legs and forget that this is not home, when all he does is go every day waking up and going to bed without dealing and working on the matters that he was sent to that country for? So that's everything that I came here to say today. I promise it to be less than 30 minutes. So yeah, I'm going to end here. Thank you so much for listening once again. I love you all, my friends. Hey, I love this my friends thing. I love it. It's beautiful. But yes, thank you so much for listening. And have an amazing week. Remember to remain in Jesus. Remember to lean on him. He is your strength and your sufficiency. And remember to be an ambassador for Christ. God bless you and have an amazing week, and see you next time. All my love. Bye. Goodbye.